This sermon series has been on the songs of the Gospel of Luke, and we have reflected on four songs that share and telling us how Jesus came into the world. First, we reflected on hope and how important it is for us to have something to look forward to. Second, we talked about peace and how we long for peace within our world, especially with all the recent violence. The third week, we talked about joy. And it was a little bit tough that morning to talk about joy in the midst of having heard what happened in Sandy Hook. But we reminded, and Kathy did so beautifully telling us, that we need joy in life. Even in times of sorrow, we need to cling to the reality that Christ brings us joy in life eternal and in all the gifts that only God can give. I'm going to read to you our gospel for this morning, and today's passage is about the song of love. It's a very familiar passage. You're probably going to remember it. It's known as the Christmas story. But I'm going to ask you to close your eyes and to let me read this to you, that it might be the very first time as if you've ever heard it. So close your eyes with me, and let's go back to the time when Jesus was born. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. And this was the first registration, and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." Now open your eyes for the rest of the story. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." And so they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. And when they saw this, they made known that they had been told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed. They were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, tomorrow is Christmas Eve, the day when we celebrate the birth of baby Jesus. There was a hymn that was written many years ago by Christina Rossetti, and it was called "Love Came Down at Christmas." I asked you a long time ago, maybe it was at the beginning of Advent, what you wanted for Christmas. I actually called on a few of you. Wendy said I didn't call on any adults, so, you know, I'm sorry about that. Next year. But what do you want for Christmas? What do you think the world needs most right now? We all certainly need hope, right? Hope for a better tomorrow, hope for something different when we die, this hope that things can turn out wonderful for everybody that we know and love. Look at our list of prayer concerns, right? Hope, we need hope. We also need peace. Think about Syria, right? Think about, you know, all of the places around our world. Afghanistan, North Korea sent a bomb already into South Korea, right, recently, and we have, you know, killings all around the world. And we pray indeed for peace. Peace inside ourselves as well as amongst God's peoples and this world. And certainly, as Kathy led us last week, we do need joy. Woohoo! But Paul teaches us, if you ever look at 1 Corinthians, right? Hope, faith, and love abide these three, but the greatest of these is love. What I love about the gospel reading that we had before is when it talks about Mary and how she treasured all that had happened on her heart. Have you ever been there when a baby was born? Some of you are moms. Some of you are grandmas. Some of you are dads. I know they let you in now, right? To see it. It's an amazing time to hold a baby that you had something to do with, right? Bringing into this world. Or a newly adopted child. Or a grandbaby. Some of you are grandparents. And it's pretty darn exciting. My friend Chrissy is expecting a baby. She's really, really excited because actually she's had, two losses trying along the way. And now she's pretty sure that everything's going really, really well and all the doctors have told her so. And she and her husband are excited for the birth of their child. They're painting their nursery, right? You know, they're looking for ultrasounds to see like the little shapes of the head and the hands and the tummy. And they're buying maternity clothes because she's getting big. You can see her and she's showing, right? And, you know, they're buying stuffed animals and bottles and diapers and everything baby, right? And whenever I see Chrissy, she teases me because she, from the very beginning, she's skinny. She's really, really petite. And she, you know, kind of popped right out. And so I come up to her and go, "Hi, baby!" And I talk to her tummy. And, you know, everybody around me thinks I'm silly. And so does she. But there's a baby in there. A baby that's going to be born. What is it about babies that makes us go crazy? You know, if you're walking down the shopping cart, you know, in the shopping store, and you see a little baby, I mean, everyone goes, "Ooh, oh, you know, so cute. You know, look at the little cheeks, look at the little hands, look at the little feet." But those of you who are parents, you know that they're certainly going to be not so pretty all of the time, right? They need a lot of care. They cry themselves to sleep sometimes. Sometimes there's diapers, I think. I heard something about those. And maybe, you know, illness And yet babies do something to us that bring us back to new life and innocence and opportunity. And we pray that these young people that grow up today, even in the wake of something that happened in Sandy Hook, and even in the wake of the storm, even in the wake of any bad bullying or difficulties that they might experience, we pray that they will bring us life and hope and peace. What does it mean to you to think about love coming down this Christmas? Have you heard the expression that love covers a multitude of sin? Love, if you think about it, binds us together when all else fails. Love, especially the love of a baby. And we need love to rain down on our sins to make them past mistakes. We need love to help us to get through all the difficult times. I'm going to close with a story about a man named Henry. He was the administrator for a home for emotionally disturbed children. And one Christmas Eve, one of the staff members came to say that one of the children, Tommy, had crawled underneath his bed and refused to come out. And Henry went to Tommy's bed and addressed the bed, you know, because he knew he was underneath, so he just talked to the bed, saying, you know, hey, you know, there's a brightly lit tree downstairs, and I think there might be presents, and don't you want to come down and see? There are many good things waiting for you beyond the bed. But there was no answer. So Henry, being Henry, dropped down to his hands and knees and lifted the bedspread up a little bit. Now, Tommy was 8, but he looked like a 5-year-old, and Henry could easily have pulled him out from underneath the bed, but it wasn't pulling that Tommy needed. It was trust, and it was a sense of deciding things on his own initiative. So crouched on all fours, Henry launched into the menu of the special Christmas Eve dinner that would be offered after worship. He told him of the stocking that had Tommy's name on it, and still there was silence. There was no indication that Tommy heard him or even cared about Christmas. At last, because he could think of no other way to make contact, Henry got down on his stomach and wriggled underneath the bed so that he could be right alongside Tommy. Henry lay there with his cheek pressed against the floor, just looking at Tommy for a long time. And then he began to tell Tommy about a big wreath above the altar and the candles that were in the window. He talked about the carols that the kids were singing. And finally, when he was out of things to say, he simply waited. He laid there right beside Tommy and waited. And after a bit, the small child's chilled hand slipped over and grabbed Henry's. And Henry said, "You know, Tommy, it's kind of close quarters under here. Let's you and me go out where we can stand up." And then they did. Such is the simple and profound mystery of Christmas. For God could manipulate us if he wanted, right? I mean, he could pull us and yank us and throw us and force us. But instead, he lays down on the ground with his head to the pavement and looks us in the eyes and waits for us to reach for him. My friends, the good news is this: God's love comes down at Christmas. Amen.